He too started clapping, and the other boys joined in. It wasn't a long ovation, but it was enough to let him know the door was open, at least a crack. He raised his hands to silence the applause, just in time since it was already dying down. "I'd like to speak to the tune leaders for a few minutes in my quarters. The rest of you are dismissed till practice." Almost at once, Itu was beside him. "Good job," he said. "Only one mistake."
"What was that?"
"You aren't the only new person here."
"They assigned one of the dragon soldiers to Rabbit?"
For a moment, Bean allowed himself to hope that it would be Nikolai. He could use a reliable friend.
No such luck.
"No. A dragon soldier would be a veteran. I mean, this guy is new. He just got to battle school yesterday afternoon, and he was assigned here last night after you came by."
"A launchy? Assigned straight to an army?"
"Oh, we asked him about that, and he's had a lot of the same classwork. He went through a bunch of surgeries down on Earth, and he studied through it all, but..."
"You mean he's recovering from surgery, too?"
"No, he walks fine. He's... Look, why don't you just meet him? All I need to know is, do you want to assign him to a tune or what?"
"Eh, let's see him."
He too led him to the back of the barracks.
There he was, standing beside his bunk, several inches taller than Bean remembered, with legs of even length now, both of them straight.
The boy he had last seen fondling Poke minutes before her dead body went into the river.
"Ho, Ashiel," said Bean.
"Ho, Bean," said Ashiel.
He grinned winningly.
"Looks like you're the big guy here."
"So to speak," said Bean.
"You two know each other?" said he too.
"We knew each other in Rotterdam," said Ashiel.
"They can't have assigned him to me by accident.
I never told anybody but Sister Carlotta about what he did, but how can I guess what she told the IF? Maybe they put him here because they thought both of us being from the Rotterdam streets, from the same crew, the same family, I might be able to help him get into the mainstream of the school faster. Or maybe they knew that he was a murderer who was able to hold a grudge for a long, long time and strike when least expected. Maybe they knew that he planned for my death as surely as he planned for Poke's. Maybe he's here to be my Bonzo Madrid.
Except that I haven't taken any personal defense classes. And I'm half his size. I couldn't jump high enough to hit him in the nose. Whatever they were trying to accomplish by putting Ender's life at risk, Ender always had a better chance of surviving than I will. The only thing in my favor is that Ashiel wants to survive and prosper more than he wants vengeance. Since he can hold a grudge forever, he's in no hurry to act on it. And unlike Bonzo, he'll never allow himself to be goaded into striking under circumstances where he'd be identifiable as the killer. As long as he thinks he needs me, and as long as I'm never alone, I'm probably safe."
"Safe." He shuddered. Poke felt safe, too.
"Ashiel was my commander there," said Bean. "He kept a group of us kids alive. Got us into the charity kitchens."
"Bean is too modest," said Ashiel.
"The whole thing was his idea. He basically taught us the whole idea of working together. I've studied a lot since then, Bean. I've had a year of nothing but books and classes, when they weren't cutting into my legs and pulverizing and regrowing my bones. And I finally know enough to understand just what a leap you helped us make. From barbarism into civilization. Bean here is like a replay of human evolution."
Bean was not so stupid as to fail to recognize when flattery was being used on him. At the same time, it was more than a little useful to have this new boy, straight from Earth, already know who Bean was and show respect for him.
"The evolution of the pygmies, anyway," said Bean.
"Bean was the toughest little bastard you ever saw on the street, I gotta tell you."
No, this was not what Bean needed right now.
Ashiel had just crossed the line from flattery into possession. Stories about Bean as a tough little bastard would, of necessity, set Ashiel up as Bean's superior, able to evaluate him. The stories might even be to Bean's credit,
but they would serve more to validate Ashiel, make him an insider far faster than he would otherwise have been. And Bean did not want Ashiel to be inside yet. Ashiel was already going on as more soldiers gathered closer to here. "The way I got recruited into Bean's crew was..."
"It wasn't my crew," said Bean, cutting him off. "And here in battle school, we don't tell stories about home, and we don't listen to them either. So I'd appreciate it if you never spoke again of anything that happened in Rotterdam, not while you're in my army."
He'd done the nice bit during his opening speech. But now was the time for authority. Ashiel didn't show any sign of embarrassment at the reprimand.
"I get it. No problem."
"It's time for you to get ready to go to class," said Bean to the soldiers. "I need to confer with my toon leaders only." Bean pointed to Ambul, a Thai soldier who, according to what Bean read in the student reports, would have been a toon leader long ago, except for his tendency to disobey stupid orders.
"You, Ambul. I assign you to get Ashiel to and from his correct classes and acquaint him with how to wear a flash suit, how it works, and the basics of movement in the battle room. Ashiel, you are to obey Ambul like God until I assign you to a regular toon."
Ashiel grinned. "But I don't obey God."
"You think I don't know that?"
"The correct answer to an order from me is yes, sir."
Ashiel's grin faded.
"Yes, sir."
"I'm glad to have you here,"
Bean lied.
"Glad to be here, sir," said Ashiel.
And Bean was reasonably sure that while Ashiel was not lying, his reason for being glad was very complicated, and certainly included by now a renewed desire to see Bean die. For the first time, Bean understood the reason Ender had almost always acted as if he was oblivious to the danger from Bonesaw. It was a simple choice, really. Either he could act to save himself, or he could act to maintain control over his army. In order to hold real authority, Bean had to insist on complete obedience and respect from his soldiers, even if it meant putting Ashiel down, even if it meant increasing his personal danger. And yet another part of him thought, Ashiel wouldn't be here if he didn't have the ability to be a leader. He performed extraordinarily well as our papa in Rotterdam. It's my responsibility now to get him up to speed as quickly as possible, for the sake of his potential usefulness to the IF. I can't let my personal fear interfere with that, or my hatred of him for what he did to Poke. So even if Ashiel is evil incarnate, my job is to turn him into a highly effective soldier with a good shot at becoming a commander. And in the meantime, I'll watch my back.